How did an embargo on bird poop inadvertently contribute to the Holocaust? How did mammals end up with an eye inside their brain? Can you snap somebody's neck like in the movies? Learn the truth behind these and much more in my new book, Facts That Aren't True. Link in the description.
I know obviously you disagree, you take the atheist perspective, but are you strongly against it? Are you like, think you just disagree with it? Or is there like strong evidence that you would say to disagree that God might have used evolution as a process?
I mean, there's a million angles you can approach that with. I don't think it's a defensible position, because you just sit there and you either think that God seeded Earth with life and evolution has taken its course, but humans were miraculously created. We just know that didn't happen. Or you could say, I have heard people like, I think Inspiring Philosophy, his sort of take on it is he thinks that there were humans, but then Adam and Eve were the first humans that God had like directly communicated with, and he points to Genesis seems to imply that there are humans out there in the world already. It's kind of later on in the narrative, but you know, Adam and Eve go out and they, you know, whatever. So, I mean, that's cute. I don't see how that's in any possible way defendable. Like, I don't get the hybridization of these ideas, because they can't work together. Because you either have to propose miraculous creation, which is ridiculous. Now, the second option, it's not like you could scientifically demonstrate that that's false, but it certainly isn't a scientific idea, and I don't get the whole thing of, I'm a rational believer, so I'm going to accept the science and then incorporate it with my beliefs, but you just have to take your beliefs based on either faith or just declaring that the book has to be true, so this is the way I make it true. I don't find that to be any more noble than the way, you know, flood geologists interpret the layers to be biblical, which they just obviously aren't.
Yeah, well, so I agree with you on a lot of those things. I myself am a Christian, so I kind of grew up that way. Then like obviously, like I'm actually in college right now for science stuff, so it's like I can't really refute anything that science says. So it's like, well, how does that really conflict?
I would never debate evolutionary
theistic evolution.
I had such a brain fart there. I would never debate theistic evolution. I've seen some clips of, you know, creationists and theistic evolutionists debating before, and those are interesting, but I would absolutely never debate it, because for me, I'm like, if you agree that evolution happens, then that's a W. I don't care. You know, I'm not one of these anti-theist type people, although I do think the world would probably be a little bit better off without religion. The other thing I would say about it is, have you seen that debate with between Alex O'Connor, Phil Knight, and the Neckleys?
I know the Neckleys did a debate with Alex O'Connor. I'm not sure about the other guy. I would maybe have to look at it.
Yeah, well, Alex, it's kind of confusing because they happened close to... I'm going to mute you because there's a lot of wind noise, but I'll unmute you later. These two things happened really close to each other. O'Connor did a really long interview with the Neckleys, and it really wasn't a debate, although they did go back and forth on things. But then they did, I think it was on the Modern Day Debate YouTube channel, Phil Knight, I think that's his name. If I'm getting his name wrong, I'm really sorry. But they did, Alex was on his side, and then they debated the Neckleys. And evolution was a huge part of the debate. And it centered around the idea of the problem of evil, because Alex and Phil bring up the prospect of animal suffering and how, if you're going to adopt theistic evolution, you have to say that God chose death to be the engine that creates life on this planet, and that would, you know, include and imply human life. So from a problem of evil perspective, they think that theistic evolution, I don't remember if they really said this is a problem for theistic evolution specifically. I would say it's a huge problem, though, for it. So that's a different angle you could look at it.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know how much you want to get into, like, really theology and stuff, because I know that's probably not your area of expertise, but I have, like, it's a increasingly, like, common viewpoint on, like, that whole death scenario. So, essentially, like, I don't believe that, like, hell, per se, is eternal, like, punishing, like, torture. I genuinely don't think that that's, like, biblically backed at all. I know a lot of people do hold that view strongly. But, I mean, like, John 3:16 says, like, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So, like, to imply that you're going to live eternally in hell is, like, not biblical. And there's other things, like, saying there's a second death and stuff like that. So I would just say, like, when Adam did that fall, right, it's just, like, that would just introduce the idea of, like, oh, well, now that we can sin, now it's, like, here's a punishment for what you would sin. But, yeah, sorry, I'm outside, so that's like the wind.
But no problem. And somebody in YouTube corrected me. His name's Phil Halper, not Phil Knight. Phil Knight was the CEO of Nike, so I don't know what's going on in my brain, but thank you,
viewer. I would like to. Oh yeah, I'll check that out. It was Phil Halpert.
Halper, not like The Office. Halper.
Okay. I wanted to, like, just kind of push back, because I'm trying to, like, work out what my internal thoughts are on a lot of these things, but the idea of, like, I know evolution is kind of based off of, like, a lot of random chance and a lot of kind of, it didn't know previously where it was going to go, just because it's, like, you know, like, there was no way of telling from the start that we would reach to where we are currently. But
yeah, there's no teleology. So, I mean,
right.
And people bring that up as a problem, but I don't see that as a problem. Well, it depends on what you're talking about. Like, for example, the Mississippi River had no idea how to reach the ocean, but it did. The water just travels the path of least resistance, but it also changes literally all the time. The shape of the river does. So things can be guided toward, you know, there isn't an actual teleos there, but there is a reason why what's happening is happening, because water will, well, it's not just water. Everything will go from high energy to low energy, and a river is just water doing that. So with natural selection, yeah, there's the random component, but selection is non-random.
Well, but selection is based off of the environment, wouldn't you say? So if, like, the environment were to change, then you would see, like,
what is selected for typically changes. Yeah.
Yeah. So would you say that, like, if we were to mold our environment, then that would probably change how things evolve through natural selection?
Are you talking about human beings or if nature
changes? Human beings or, yeah, human beings, nature. I mean, like, I'm going to input God here just because, like, I'm a Christian, but, like, you know, any, yeah, human beings, if we, like, I don't know, you see, like, monkeys in India, like, how they have been changing to, like, fit the city life rather than, like, nature and stuff like that. I mean, yeah. Do you think that would be, like, it's not, like, out of the question to assume something like that?
Are you saying because we observe humans changing the environment and life finds ways to adapt around that, that that's, like, an argument for God could be pulling the strings and making things happen?
I mean, I don't want to say, like, I have objective proof for anything. Like, I'm just, like, providing, like, kind of some possibilities, if you might say. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not proof, but there's no logical. It's just kind of an argument. Like, if logically we can say that this happens, then there's no logical problem with saying God does something like that.
Right.
That, I mean, is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. I would say like, cause I already have, like, I know a big problem with, theism is like starting off with a preconceived notion and trying to get like to a conclusion through that. And I can't really like refute that. I mean, yes, I already do have that presupposition. So I do try to like fit my narrative through like saying, well, evolution contradicts that or contradicts the, you know, young earth creationists, which I disagree with.
There, I mean, to be fair, a huge amount of that goes on in evolution. We didn't predict everything we see, you know, in nature, but we do interpret a lot of things that we discover that are new in light of evolution, but they're always logically consistent with evolution. So you can call it, motivated reasoning or whatever that kind of bias is. And like in a weird sort of sense, it is, but we're not like radically reinterpreting the evidence we have. We're seeing that it is consistent with evolution. I really wish I could think of an example off the top of my head. It's kind of hard to just manifest one, but in all fairness, that does happen. So what you're doing, I wouldn't call it dishonest really or anything like that, but
cool. I have some science questions now, just because I know you know more about this than I do. So as far as like, how do we know, like, I guess the randomness behind how mutations occur? Like, I know sometimes like we see a lot of times, like I've seen like textbooks say, oh, some mistakes happen here. And then like, you know, you see a result from this, like, I mean, what if they weren't mistakes or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to fit my, like I said earlier, my narrative, but like, is that out of the question to say something like, when a beneficial mutation happens, right? It's not necessarily a mistake is what I would get at.
So you're saying the reason, like, can't I say that beneficial mutations happen because God is behind it to some degree?
Right. Something like that. I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that, I think
there's a real big problem with this. This is a highbrow example of it. I'm going to give you a lowbrow example of it because it's really easy to understand. I had this really hilarious debate with this group of complete morons a couple weeks ago. And one of them asked me, what would it take for you to believe in God? And I said, okay, I'll try it right now. God, please give me a McChicken. Oh, look, it didn't happen. And the guy said, like, I'm not kidding. In response to this, he said, yeah, bro, you go to the McDonald's and you buy it yourself. That's how it works. I was like, that's proof that God exists. And his argument was, who made it so it would be possible for you to go buy the McChicken? Like, that was his argument, right? And I was just floored by how stupid that was. And the logical or philosophical problem or whatever with this is, what he did was, the error in this is, a world where God doesn't exist is a world where I have to go to McDonald's to buy my own McChicken. A universe where God exists, according to this guy, is a world where God created the universe and just through the normal natural processes of the universe, McDonald's was created or whatever. So basically, hopefully I explained that well, but he described two opposite worlds that are indistinguishable from each other. Does that make sense?
Right. So, okay. I understood your analogy, but how does that relate to, I guess, what I was saying? I just didn't pick up on the connection.
Yep. And I hadn't bridged it quite yet. So your example with the mutations, and like God possibly being intervening, I think is just a highbrow example of the exact same thing. Because if God doesn't exist, then like there's no, like, how we can't sit here and say that evolution can't be something that happens if God doesn't exist. So these beneficial mutations, you can call it a teleology based on the mind of God. And I can concede that God would be able to do that or would desire or set things up that way. But if God doesn't exist, then that's still something we would expect to see. So it doesn't lend any, like, you can say that it's logically consistent, but it's indistinguishable from a world without God. Because that would happen anyways. I have more to add to that, but I want to see if that makes sense and then let you give a take on it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I actually was talking to someone else, and it's like, I guess what I was proposing is possible, but it's not like necessary is what, like, I mean, it could happen.
Yeah, it's not a necessary and sufficient condition. It's just sufficient or whatever.
Would you say, kind of switching topics, staying on the same topic-ish, I know a lot of people, they like look at the Big Bang and they're like, oh, well, how is that possible? And I actually really liked your point and didn't actually know, like, think about that before, but you're like, well, science doesn't know what happened before the Big Bang, so there's like no real, like, we don't know, so that's it, we just leave it at that. But
yeah, it's also up to question whether or not saying before the Big Bang is even allowed to be asked. We don't know if there even is such a thing as before the Big Bang, so it kind of, asking the question puts the cart before the horse in a big way.
Well, do you think that the, like, universe is eternal in the sense that, like, before the, well, I know you just said it could not be possible, but in that theory of, like, expansion and contraction, is that, like, something that is possible, or has that been refuted, or?
No, it absolutely hasn't been refuted. It's totally possible. Penrose has a model on that. To me, you could call that eternal, I guess, in the sense that it never begins and never ends. That's a kind of a weird way of describing something that's eternal, but that's fine with me.
Okay, because I was saying, like, if that model were to be true, then, like, I guess there is no real reason for, like, God to start things. But if you were to take the other view of just, there was, like, that, what they call it, the singularity, I think, am I wrong in that, the particle that was, like, you know, commence the Big Bang.
Yeah, it's not a particle. Singularity just means all the forces we see today get unified into a singular one because all of our laws of physics break down. And so it becomes this is the theory of everything that Hawking was in search of. So that's what the singularity means. It doesn't mean it's a literal actual point or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I can't really wrap my mind around exactly. Maybe you could explain this here now, like, what the Big Bang is. Because I know it's like the universe is expanding, but, like, also the universe is primarily made of nothing, like space. So how is nothing expanding into nothing? Or maybe I just...
What you're asking is, if the universe is expanding, what is it expanding into? And... we don't know what's outside the observable universe, but I mean, if the universe like maybe it helps to try to not confuse what we can see and what we label the universe with what the universe kind of by definition is. The universe is, we could call it the set of all things, right? Because the universe is everything. So then you say, well, what is the universe expanding into? Well, there's nothing other than the universe. The universe just expands. Now, how can that be? If it's getting bigger, then that means that there's a place over there where this stuff, or, like, how would you say this? You would say, if it's expanding, then what I can see off in the distance, the stuff that's right here is eventually going to be there. So... now extrapolate that out to the edge of the universe, and it has to be going into something. Well, there's an edge to the observable universe, but by all accounts, if I were to teleport you immediately to the edge of the observable universe and you looked around, it would almost certainly just look like the universe. You would just see more stuff. It's kind of like a horizon problem on Earth. If you're in the ocean and you look around, all you see is the sea. But there's a limit to how far you can see. But if I teleport you to the edge of your horizon and you look around, it's not like if you look back the way you came from, you can see stuff. And then once you look in the direction of where before you couldn't see, oh, there's nothing there. No, it's just more ocean, right? So for all of our ability to detect the sort of shape of the universe, I don't remember if you call it the topology or what, but the universe appears totally flat, which means it literally just goes on forever. So there's nothing other than the universe, and the material within it simply spreads out over time.
And would you say, like, I've seen that model where it's kind of like a cone shaped, but like, is there like a point that you could like hypothetically travel to in which like things are still expanding from, or was it just like, is there a center of the universe?
That model of the Big Bang where it looks like a condom with a trumpet flute at the end, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is, so what that does is linearly it's giving you time, and then I don't know what you'd call that, because it's two-dimensional, but the growing diameter of that circle as you go through, that is essentially describing the observable universe. So what happens is, in the earliest moments, the observable universe, because light has a finite speed, was smaller. And it's getting bigger because light has had time to travel. But then, I might actually be getting that slightly wrong, because I think I might actually be conflating that. But that is true, what I said about light. But the other thing is, the way that model grows, that's actually part of the expansion. And what you see is, toward the end, it flares out and it's growing at a faster rate. That's because the universe is actually accelerating in its expansion because of dark energy. So that's actually probably the main reason why it flares out and whatever like that.
I know I'm going to sound like a lot of the people you talk to, but when you say things like dark energy, is that like something that we can like probably not observe, but is that something that we can like prove or like somehow mathematically like say that there's some weird force there going on, or like is that just kind of made up?
So no, we know for certain that we don't know what dark energy is or what's making it happen, but we know for certain that how do I want to say it? Whatever is causing, this is so hard to say for some reason. We know exactly what dark energy is doing. We just don't know what it is. We know that the universe is accelerating in its expansion. That is known. The cause behind it isn't known. That's why it's called dark energy.
Right. Is it wrong to, going back to like what I was bringing, my whole main shtick, is it wrong? Obviously, like, yes, we can't prove that like God is out there, but I would say neither can we really disprove it. We can disprove like young Earth creationists, but as far as like saying, well, if pre singularity expanding, right, like there was to be a cause behind that, is it really wrong to or not wrong, but I guess intellectually dishonest to say like maybe there was a cause to this and that cause could be what we would label as God? Or is that more a God of the gaps argument?
I mean, it's kind of a God of the gaps argument, but weirdly, so what you're doing with God is kind of like a dark energy thing. You're saying, I don't think it's quite as strong, because you're saying the God of the gaps thing, I don't know, the God of the gaps thing is kind of like this. Look, there appears to be a beginning. So God is the thing that is the, like, stands in place. It's like the placeholder for the cause of the beginning. And yeah, that's God of the gaps. I mean, but I see the natural inclination toward saying or assuming or yearning, looking for an explanation for that first cause or whatever. I'll just finish this out. To me, the bigger problem with that is that, forgot what I was going to say. I got distracted because my screen went black, so I thought my live stream got shut down, but it was just him disconnecting. You have to specially plead. Like, to say there's a thing that's the first thing, because everything has to have a cause, but the first thing doesn't have a cause. To me, I think the special pleading is a graver sin than the God of the gaps thing.
Sorry, my bad.
No worries. Did you hear what I said?
You were just about to explain why it wasn't God of the gaps. I apologize. I'm outside and something weird happened.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think it is kind of God of the gaps. I don't think God of the gaps is like a terrible fallacy, because there's a natural yearning for humans to explain things. And what we don't understand, people just kind of say God, they imagine that they know the shape of that missing piece, and they imagine what shape God is. And they say, yes, a God shaped piece goes there. Now, we don't know that, but I understand the natural inclination. To me, right. The greater logical error in this is that you have to specially plead. You have to say everything has antecedents that cause it. So I'm going to say there's one thing that doesn't, and that's God. And there's no logical reason why somebody can say the universe isn't that. So,
well, I think by nature, I mean, like, everything we see here is through, like, matter and time, right? But I think, like, the concept of God is something outside of that. So in that case, like, he wouldn't be constrained to that rule, while we are, in the sense of, like, we have to have, or, like, anything physical would have to have, like, a beginning in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but to me, that's just totally incoherent, because that means that God has the same characteristics that something that doesn't exist has. It's immaterial. It exists in no time. So there's no space. There's no time to it. It's not made of anything. Those are the same. That's the description of what nothing is. And I think,
right.
I mean, people only do that because there's this other weird fallacious argument that if a universe is made of space, time, and matter, then it can only be created by something that is outside of those things. And I don't understand why people think that is the case. I mean, we can build robots that make robots. So, like, the idea that something can only come from things that it's not. Human reproduction demonstrates that's not the case. The combining of chemical elements to make new elements demonstrates that's not the case. I would say,
I guess to push back on that is, like, the robots analogy or any other things that would be, like, other, you know, you're making robots from parts, not from, like, absolutely nothing, right? Like you would have to make, like, the metal from those parts comes from a quarry in the earth. So it's like, we're talking about, like, something, like, existing in the physical realm versus, like, would have to be created by something outside.
I can just reject creation out of nothing as being logically impossible. From nothing, nothing comes.
Right. So if there was, like, nothing before the Big Bang, then where, like, how would... Are you saying that singularity was eternal or something?
The universe can exist. So what I do to try to help people not really understand it but kind of accept it is I ask them to think about black holes. Now, we know that black holes exist, but inside of that black hole, we can't describe anything about it because all of the laws of physics we have unify. Another way to say it is they completely break down and we don't have anything that can describe what's going on in there. As we run the clock backwards with the universe, it does something a little bit like a black hole. Everything becomes more densely compacted together. And because of that, all the forces we understand unify. So, and that would mean that time as we understand it breaks down too, because that's another thing for black holes. Check out really cool information. People tell you what happens as you fall into the event horizon and how time all of time rushes before you as you fall in, but an outside observer sees it differently. And then when you're in there, what the hell's going on? So time would have absolutely been different before the Big Bang expansion. And so perhaps what you have is literally just a quantum field or whatever, or just a wave function or something. And because time as a fourth dimension of space like we experience it now just literally wasn't a feature of the universe, it can be eternal. It can just exist. And time doesn't really pass.
I wanted to... I think I can grasp it only as so much as I can grasp it, right? It's pretty heavy stuff. But I wanted to like kind of push back on something you said earlier where you were like, well, the way that I described God as being something that's not physically there and outside of time, so that's like the same definition of nothing.
Yeah, space is timeless immaterial, yeah.
Right. But, I mean, what about, like, you were saying stuff like dark energy or, like, I don't know, if I, like, think of a zebra in my head, the zebra's not actually there, but it's still, like, something that's, you know, immaterial or, like, you know, things that aren't, like, the laws of physics are I mean, we can write them down, but they're not, like, a physical thing.
I think that the laws of physics are descriptions of nature. They're not something out there that we pluck. And logic would be that way too. I've had lots of debates about this. People insist logic exists, and I say no, I absolutely do not think it does. I think it is purely descriptive. You don't pluck the law of identity out of some magical realm, and that's what makes something have an identity. No, it has an identity, and then we describe it.
Well, I guess, like, what's to say that, like, obviously these laws describe how, like, the universe works, but, like, is it just, like, by coincidence or by, like, just the fact that it is that it arrived here or that not arrived, that's a bad word, but like that it, how did those come into being from like the singularity that those rules didn't really exist, I guess?
I have no idea. There are concepts like multiverse and, I don't know if many worlds isn't really a description of, I don't think you can't use many worlds to try to describe why does the universe look the way it does rather than some other way. I don't think you can do that, but multiverse you can. Multiverse is kind of misunderstood by a lot of people. Geez, that wind noise is really bad. One of the ideas of multiverse is, I don't know if there's more than one idea of it, but the only one I know is that we have this horizon problem with the observable universe. You can only see so far. The idea goes something like, well, when the universe began expanding, there were actually local pockets where you have all these different permutations or combinations of the constants of physics. And they can all work together. And they all manifested in different ways in these local regions. And then as the universe has expanded, these multi-universes all exist in the single universe, but we're separated from them by like our visible boundary. And that's bound up in the laws of physics too. So the implication for this essentially is if I teleported you to somewhere like hundreds and hundreds of billions of light years away, you could actually be in a place where the laws of physics are different. And that's not something that was retroactively invented because physicists are like, the God people are going to nuke us on this if we don't come up with an explanation. Physicists had no opinions about that possibility even. It was born out of the equations. The equations were telling them, well, holy shit, we might have this concept. It's like with black holes. Nobody said, I bet there are black holes out there. And then they fudged the math to make them work. It was by studying Einstein's equations that later scientists were like, wait a minute, this goes to infinity at some point. So does that mean, and then they went and searched for them and we found them. So.
Yeah. I'm majoring in biomedical sciences. So like I just finished biochem, but like I have really no knowledge too much of like a lot of astrophysics and all that. So I can't really speak much on it, but yeah, I mean,
I can just define things crudely for you. I don't understand any of this too deeply.
I have to go, but,
that's fine.
Okay. Well, thank you for the discussion. Much appreciated. So I'm a